Well, good morning once again. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We can't grasp your love. Just like that song that we sing, Lord. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? Above and beyond anything we can imagine. Fill this place with you, Lord. Fill us with your love, with your spirit. Fill us with your heart, Lord. We need you. Do your work in people's lives today, Lord, please. Open up heaven for us. Lord, we want everything you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Looking to Moses. Moses was a great man, wasn't he? Our opening scripture this morning was John 6, 26 through 35. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So what's it all about? It's all about Jesus. You know, it amazes me how everything in the Bible is connected. It's like God himself orchestrated everything. And he did. Fitted everything together perfectly. John 5, 39 and also 45 through 47. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testifieth of me. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" I've said it before and I'll say it again. Everything in the Bible is about Jesus Christ. Everything. So what did the people do? What did they do? Even back then, they looked to Moses. We see this in John chapter 6. They said, "Moses gave us bread in the wilderness." Jesus said, "Moses did not give you bread in the wilderness. My Father did." The people looked to Moses for salvation. They looked for Moses, to Moses for everything. The bread they received. How important is bread? That's vital. That's almost like salvation, isn't it? How important is Jesus as the bread of life? That's salvation. The very name Yeshua means salvation. You look up in your Strong's, salvation, and it says Yeshua. That's the Hebrew word for salvation. They know it. It's been right there in front of them forever. They know it. The people look to Moses for their salvation. For everything. You know, the law doesn't save us. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Hamotzi Lachem Min Haaretz. That's a Hebrew blessing for the bread. There's one for the wine, too. But we're going to talk about the bread today. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Hamotzi Lachem Min Haaretz. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. There it is, right in front of them. Brings forth bread from the earth. What do you think of when you think of that? I think of my Savior coming up out of the ground. Because it speaks it right out, doesn't it? There's a lot of similarities between Jesus Christ and the bread. The matzah bread. Have you ever taken a close look at matzah bread? For one thing, it's unleavened. What's leaven? Leaven is sin. Jesus had no sin, did he? So he was a type of the bread. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." There was a trade-off there. He took our sin on him and he gave us his righteousness. That sounds like a pretty good deal for us, doesn't it? It is. It's the best there is. The bread is also bruised. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Bruised. The bread itself is the unleavened bread is the matzah is a pale color, but it has marks on it. They're kind of scorch marks. Where it's kind of burnt. Fire represents judgment, doesn't it? Jesus suffered the judgment that we were supposed to suffer. He was bruised. The bread is pierced. Psalm 22:16, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." That was David. David wrote that 1,000 years before Jesus Christ. "They pierced my hands and my feet." Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." He was pierced, just like the bread. "And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Whose firstborn was Jesus? God the Father. Pierced. You know, you can take that and you can hold it up to the light, and the light will shine through. Think about that. The light will shine through. Let his light shine through, Lord. Stripes. We heard that once before from Isaiah 53:5. And Peter quotes it in 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Stripes, the lashes from the whip were the stripes. On the bread is just the pattern, the design. It's all there. Including broken. 1 Corinthians 11:24, we'll be saying this a little bit. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The body's broken. They would take one and they break it into three pieces. They would take the middle one and they would put it in a linen napkin and they would hide it. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of his burial. Three pieces. Why is it broken into three pieces? The Jews believe it represents Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Or some believe it represents the priests, the Levites, and the people. We as Christians, what do we think of when we think of three of something? So the triune configuration, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You notice it occurred to me that Jesus is always in the middle, didn't he? He came to dwell in our midst, in the middle of us. When he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was in the middle between Elijah and Moses, between the law and the prophets. And on the cross, he was between one that went to heaven and one that went to hell. He walked through the midst of them when they wanted to kill him before his time. Always in the middle. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, dwelt in our midst. The middle matzah was wrapped in a linen napkin and hidden for a while. That's like a burial cloth, isn't it? You know, there's a battle going on for God's honor. But isn't that always true? Isn't that always the case? Isn't that what happens with sin? Is that about God's honor? God's glory? When we sin, who are we giving glory to? Who are we giving honor to? We're giving it to the enemy instead of to who it belongs to. The enemy's robbing God of his glory. God's honor and his word is being besmirched. You like that word? What happens to Hebrews 7:25? Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he hath liveth to make intercession for them. What about John 10:28-29? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, it's just not just in the New Testament either. Isaiah 43:13. Yea, before the day was I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? You know, there's supposed to be some cooperation with us, isn't there? If those promises are going to come true. In John 6:28, we read, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What do we do? The rich young ruler said, what do I do to have eternal life? Jesus answered it. He said, you know the commandments. I notice he didn't say do the commandments. Maybe you're saying that. But do. That's the closest we can come to doing anything, isn't it? We'll obey his commandments. But we're not going to be able to do it, so it's not going to work. We have to rely on Jesus Christ. But what are they doing? They're still looking to Moses. They're still looking to the law. Still looking to Moses, who brought them out of Egypt. Yes, we should obey the commandments to please him, because we love him. Still looking to Moses, who brought them out of Egypt. I love this. Exodus 32:1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. That reminds me of 2 Peter 3:4, where Peter says, scoffers will come in the last day. Mockers will come mocking, saying, where's the promise of us coming? For since the fathers passed away, all things continue as they were. Nothing's happened. Nothing's changed. But then Peter goes on to say, well, they kind of forget about the flood and a few other things, how God destroyed the world once. He's going to do it again. Where's the promise of his coming? Where's Jesus? He's supposed to be coming. He's coming. And he's going to amaze everybody with just how quick he does come. But did you notice something else in that verse in Exodus? For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, do you see anything wrong with that? Moses is up on the mountain talking to God. God noticed it. The Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. It didn't sit too well with them, did it? And how did Moses react? Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Like I said, I love the Old Testament. Of course, I love the New Testament, too. It just seems to fit together real good. Kind of like it's been orchestrated. But they're looking to Moses. They think he's the source of all their blessings. They think they're the source of all their provision for their salvation, for everything. 2 Corinthians 3:15, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Moses symbolizes the law. When Moses is read, they're talking about the law. But the law forms a base, a foundation. The law shows our need for a Savior. Without the law, Paul said in Romans chapter 7 that if I didn't know about coveting, then I wouldn't want to do it. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You ever said, well, God knows my heart? There's a meme on Facebook. It says, and you think that's a good thing? Fortunately, we know his heart. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of the Lord. In John chapter 6, at the end of the chapter, I think it's interesting that it's chapter 6, verse 66. And they turned and they walked away from him no more. They walked with him no more. There's a warning there, isn't there? 666. There's only two places in the Bible where there's a 666. The other's in 1 Chronicles. It's a genealogy. And here were a lot of people walked away from the Lord. Anyway, you can take with that what you want. I just find it very interesting. Jesus said to the disciples, "Are you walking away too?" Peter replied, "Where else would we go? You alone have the words of life." Where else are we going to go? You know, we do this once a month. We don't do it every week. We don't want it to get commonplace. But we do it once a month. We don't do it once a year because it's a lot more important than that, isn't it? We need to remember. Jesus said, remember. Your neighbor doesn't save you. Your pastor doesn't save you. Moses doesn't save you. And you don't save yourself. So we remember the bread today. And we also remember the blood. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Bori Peri Hagafen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives us the fruit of the vine. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lekim Min Haaretz. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, who brings forth bread from the earth. There's so much there. There's so much in front of us. Right down to the cross. The last letter in the Hebrew alphabet is the letter Tav. Originally, guess what the shape was of the letter Tav? The sign of the covenant. It was a cross. Originally, it was a cross. It's all through the Jewish religion. All through. They had a problem with the Passover lamb. When they cook it, it had a tendency to curl up, and that would ruin the meat. So what they do, they put two sticks in his chest cavity, one going across, one going up and down, the shape of a cross. There's so many things, you know, study it. It's just really, really a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 32. I've asked Greg and I didn't ask Ricky, but I was going to, if they'll hand out the elements. You can come forward and do that now. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you, guys. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you drink this bread, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. He is coming back. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Okay. Verse 28 says, examine yourselves. And we mention that every time we do this, don't we? Because that's important. Do we want to be in right standing with God when we do this? Apparently so. But the good news is we can do that while we're sitting here. And that's why I encourage everybody to bow your heads, talk to God about anything that he's reminding you of that maybe you should get straight with him. So why don't we do that now? Thank you. Thank you, sir. Maybe you have never accepted Jesus Christ your Savior. You can do that now. You don't have to wait for an altar call. It's a decision you make. But it has to be very real. Maybe you have something against a fellow believer. Or maybe something against somebody else. Talk to God about it. It says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread. But you have to take care of some business first, don't you? Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this bread. We thank you, Lord, that you gave it freely and willingly for us, Lord. We thank you that you are the bread of life. We pray for your blessing on it, Lord. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You may eat the bread. Lord, we thank you for this cup. Your blood, Lord, your precious blood that was shed for me, for all of us, Lord. Your blood covers all of us. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the life that it gives to us. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. You may drink the cup. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, seal your words in our hearts, please. Guide us in your ways, Lord. be with your people today, Lord, and always, please. There's so many traps, so many pitfalls out there, Lord. Just help us to avoid them. Help us to pay attention to what's going on around us, Lord, so that we can avoid them. Give us the strength to say no. Keep us close to you, please. Lord, keep us safe, please, and bring us back when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Cake and ice cream tonight.